You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
To the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 6th of March 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Yes, it's Friday once again, and our listeners are driving home from work, looking forward to the weekend, or checking us out in their lunch hour, and of course they're doing that because they're looking forward to hearing from my guest today, the one and only Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, good afternoon to you, sir. How the devil are you?
Oh, I'm okay. God bless it. I just want to say, God bless America, man. It's America. America's the most Christian nation on the planet. In fact, God loves America. In fact, God is obligated to love America. That's pretty much what you hear over here in America. The tends to be the attitude of a lot of people. And I just don't understand where that comes from, because I look around at the world here, I look around at America today, and I get this hellfire and brimstone vibe. I really do. I get this God is, you know, really just kind of not real happy with America. But, you know, hey, that could just be me, because today we have, I think, a really, you know, story that tells me, like, if God was going to bless America, this story right here is probably the reason for it.
Yeah, and of course, isn't there something about plagues and earthquakes and that sort of thing in Revelation? I think we'll be talking a little bit about plagues later. But what you're referring to here, of course, is the Sodom on Earth, basically, which is being reenacted before our very eyes. And the next story that I have for you is basically the next installment in that. And it concerns a character called Billy Porter, and I looked him up online. He doesn't really seem very well known for anything, really, dancing around in musicals. But because he dresses up in women's clothing, they've basically, the mainstream media have made a star out of him. And I know why you chose this story, Grandpa, because when I looked at this, article, it showed us a picture of him in his latest outfit. And basically, it was a lampshade. He had literally had a lampshade on his head, and it wasn't just an ordinary lampshade, it was a motorized lampshade, and it had curtains which opened from side to side. In actual fact, I'm going to make it the image for this article. And I did wonder when I saw that, isn't that anti-Semitic? Isn't it only Jews that can be turned into lampshades? What is this black guy doing, dressing up as a lampshade? Grandpa, surely that is why you picked this story today.
Is he appropriating their culture? Is there some sort of hidden message here? I want to know exactly what the lampshade is made out of. That might be the deciding factor. It's always funny when they talk about fashion. You know, they show these fashions like, oh, this is such amazing fashion, and you look at this, and it's always, you know, it's always crap that like nobody in the sane, normal world is ever going to wear. We're ever going to buy. You're not going to see people like going to town in one of these, you know, fashion statement things that get paraded about in places like New York or Hollywood or at a fashion show. Oh, look at this. This is such amazing. Oh, this is such, it's such an amazing statement of fashion. And it's like a lampshade thing on, you know, it's like nobody is going to actually wear that. It's like modern art, you know. Oh, look at this. It speaks to me deeply. And you walk up and you look at it, and it's like somebody just smeared random shit on, like literal shit. I mean, like feces on a canvas. It speaks to me though. When you look at it, you get this feeling. It evokes this emotion. No, it evokes an emotion of revulsion. This is not art. It's art. I'm telling you, it's art, and it's beautiful. And this is fashion. This is fashion. And if you don't get it, you're stupid and you're a rube, and you probably just are, you know, and behind the times or ignorant or something.
Well, Billy Porter in his lampshade outfit just evokes, it just invokes mirth in me when I see it. I can't see anybody else looking at it and taking it seriously. But that isn't actually the news story today. The news story concerns Billy Porter's new role. Billy Porter continues to turn heads with his iconic style that blurs gender lines. And the Pose star is preparing to bring that quality to the big screen with his next role. He recently revealed that his version of the fairy godmother in next year's live-action Cinderella will be genderless. And I will just stop there and say, aren't pantomime dames supposed to be genderless? Aren't pantomime dames normally played by men anyway, dressing up as women? And isn't it transphobic to claim that transsexuals or genderless people resemble in any way these pantomime dames? And isn't he being transphobic here? Are we going to expect a backlash from the trans community that he is, as a genderless person, is playing a pantomime dame in this film? What do you make of that, Grandpa?
Ooh, that's a whole lot of British talk. I make of it that this is going to be the film version of Drag Queen Story Hour at the library. You know, I mean, we can't get everybody to... We can't get everybody to bring their kids to the library for Drag Queen Story Hour, so let's get them to go see Cinderella. You know, maybe we can get some unsuspecting people that will be like, you know, oh, yeah, I remember Cinderella when I was a kid. I'll take my children to watch this new version of Cinderella. It'll be great. And then you get gender fluid Cinderella, because it is targeted at children. So, I mean, that's the target audience. Nobody else is going to go see Cinderella. It's obviously going to be a film targeted for children. And once again, even nothing can be escaped. Nothing can be free of the pause. You get pause in every aspect of your society now. There's nowhere you can hide. You know, children's show, you'd think children's show could be free of pause. But no, that's where they're concentrating the pause right now. There's just literally no escape from it. You know, people think, well, I can ignore this. I can just pretend it's not out there and it'll go away. And I won't give them my money. Yeah, you know, how you say people in America that always, you know, the free market is the answer to everything. And they'll sit there and say, well, I just won't give them my money. That'll teach them. They won't make a dime off of me. And it doesn't matter. They do these things. They come out with these shitty films, pushing their paws, and they lose money. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't. The money is actually secondary at this point. They're buying something else. They're buying cultural destruction. And that's the whole point of these ridiculous films. They don't care if they make money or not. What they're purchasing is societal destruction. And that's what you get. That's what you're getting with this sort of stuff. That's why the notion that, well, I just won't give them any money. Well, yeah, no kidding. But you've been doing that for decades now, and you're getting more of this stuff and not less.
Well, the 50-year-old told CBS, "It hit me when I was on the set last week how profound it is that I am playing the fairy godmother. They call it the Fab G," he said. "Magic has no gender. We are presenting this character as genderless. At least that's how I'm playing it. And it's really powerful." But as I just pointed out, these pantomime dames are always presented as genderless. I guess maybe pantomime is a British thing. I'll explain it for the benefit of our listeners that don't know what pantomime is. And maybe you yourself don't really know what pantomime is, Grandpa. It's like a sort of children's play that has fairy tale characters in it. They put them on at Christmas, and it's a sort of comedy thing that they put on as a play, and they get famous people to play it. And the women in it are always played by great big ugly men, and they put on ugly makeup and they look ridiculous. And the big joke is that it's a bloke dressed up as a woman. And the fact is, we've got all this trans craze that is being pushed at us, and they seem to have just completely ignored this aspect of it, these pantomime dames. And a lot of these transgenders, especially the ones that have just started doing it, they're not very good at it, they do look like pantomime dames, and that is exactly what this guy is doing, calling himself the Fab G. This is what I find quite amazing about this. He thinks he's the first person to think of doing this. How profound it is. You know, they've been doing that in Britain for centuries. I think the idea of men playing females in plays, or young women playing men, because also in these roles, we also often have a young woman plays the role of the prince. You know, I think this is a tradition that goes back centuries, and yet this guy thinks he's really profound for doing it. Does that explain it a bit more, Grandpa?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not the angle they're going for here. with this, though, it cracks me up, though. He says it's really powerful. I mean, how is it powerful? I mean, it's not. I guess they feel like it's powerful that they're leveraging some more paws on, you know, degeneracy on society, you know, with this. I guess they feel powerful with that. I mean, it's not like a powerful statement. You know, it's like you get these people that think, you know, lefties, you know, commies that tend to think that, you know, oh, you know, they're fighting the system, and when in actuality, they're fighting for all the very things that the system promotes. They're like the strong arm of the system. And yet they talk about, like, I don't know, somehow they're rebels. They're rebel anarchists against the, you know, against the man. And yet the whole time they're doing everything that the man, as it were, wants. It's all just, you know, I don't know. It's just all clown world encapsulated, I suppose.
Well, Porter doesn't appear to be scared of the potential conservative backlash such a groundbreaking role could attract. Now, I can't really see him getting any conservative backlash. What conservatives are going to be watching this homosexual fairy godmother film? I don't see that there will really be that much backlash about this at all. But he added, this is a classic. This is a classic fairy tale for a new generation. I think that the new generation is really ready. The kids are ready. It's the grown-ups that are slowing stuff down. Since last year's pioneering Oscars look, Porter has become known for his daring red carpet looks that consistently reject gender rules. And basically, at the Oscars, he just turned up in a dress. And that was it. Is that what they mean by being genderless? It was still quite obviously a bloke in a dress. And when he says here that the kids are ready, it's the grown-ups that are slowing stuff down. I mean, just think about that. What he's talking about is homosexuality, drag queens, transgenderism, and the children are ready for this. And it's just the grown-ups that are slowing stuff down. 10 years ago, you know, that would have been identified for what it is, you know, the promotion of pedophilia, saying that children are ready for homosexuality, and it's just the grown-ups that are slowing stuff down. I mean, I don't really understand how else that line can be interpreted. What do you make of his comments here, Grandpa?
Yeah, that's an open admission that the children are the target. I mean, they're saying it out in the open. And nobody, virtually, there is like nobody on the planet is afraid of quote unquote conservative backlash. What the hell are conservatives going to do? You know, like I say, the most you're going to get is, well, I'm not going to go give them any of my money. Woo! You know, That's really frightening. I'm sure they're really really worried about that, you know, conservative backlash. What conservative backlash? There's no conservative backlash. In fact, you know, with the track record of conservatism, in 5 years, they'll be saying our values are pushing, I don't know, gender fluid fairy godmothers on children. It's always been our conservative values. I mean, that's why nobody has any respect or concern about quote unquote conservative backlash. But I just think it is amazing that they are openly stating that this is being targeted at children. And again, there's a reason for it. And it's not because they think that's going to make the world better. It's not because it's evil. It's satanic if you're a Christian believer. I mean, they are targeting the children and because that's the way, you know, that's the latest aspect that they're going. They're the easiest to manipulate. You know, children are like a blank computer that doesn't have any programming on it, and everything around them, everything in their environment, their parents and everything, they're constantly having code written on them, as it were. And when you expose them to this nonsensical stuff, it tends to stay with them for the rest of their lives. That's why you have grown people doing things that seem completely illogical and crazy and stupid. And oftentimes it's traced back to crap that happened to them when they were little kids. And it's like, yeah, but you're an adult now. But once that code is, it's like having a virus on your computer. You know, the computer's trying to function normally, but you have this contradictory code that's interfering in that normal processing. And this is what they're doing. They're intentionally writing code on these children. They're exposing these children to these to this bad code, as it were. And it's to try to corrupt them. It's to try to essentially mold them into something else. And it's just extreme wickedness. It goes beyond. I mean, we can laugh at, look at this. This guy's obviously a guy parading around dress and it looks stupid. And it is. It's laughable and it's ridiculous, but we should also never, lose sight of the fact that there is a very wicked agenda at work here. But this is the new world we live in. It's no longer the emperor has no clothes. Now it's the emperor is wearing a dress.
Yeah, it's extremely sinister. You brought up the conservatives there, and conservatives are holding up Lady MAGA as the epitome of conservatism. They're certainly not going to complain about this. And children, they are innocent, and our instinct is to protect innocence. And what they're trying to do is ride roughshod over that desire to protect innocence and program us into thinking that it's okay for innocence to be corrupted, because then when the children are older, they won't be biased against homosexuals, or they won't be biased against transsexuals. But what it does is it just confuses children about gender identity, and we end up with children that are being put on hormones and are being set up in order to have their bodies mutilated. And these mothers that encourage their children to do this, they think they're doing the right thing. They're not doing the right thing because they're not being given the truthful information. It's a science. The actual science and the facts of this, the statistics that these people end up far more likely to kill themselves after having the operation, not before. It's not people beating them up. It's them killing themselves and self-harming that causes the problems. But all of that information is hate facts. That's the far right that talk about that. And the mothers and the parents, they're just being given the activism side of it. We've actually got people that are taking the Tavistock clinic that is prescribing all these hormones to these children. They're actually being taken to court at the moment, and there's a ton of psychiatrists that have walked out and refused to have anything to do with it. But you wouldn't know that from what you read in the mainstream media. In the mainstream media, it praises this. It thinks this is wonderful. It's not saying how bad this is. This article is praising this guy for doing that, for strutting around in a dress, basically. That's all it is, and it needs to be called out for that. We need to point at it and say, that's all it is. Well, I've got another news story here, another topical news story. As I mentioned at the beginning, it's to do with the plagues that have been let loose upon the earth. And the current plague that has been set loose upon the earth is, of course, coronavirus. And the main man who is telling us about this coronavirus is the head of the World Health Organization, who happens to be an Ethiopian, who seems to have difficulties with reading whole sentences, which really doesn't encourage me to have much faith in the World Health Organization. But not just is he fluffing his sentences and not really knowing what he's talking about, he seems to have taken a turn towards policing people's speech now. It seems to be more important that we are concerned about people's feelings rather than being concerned about this virus getting out of hand. He has urged people not to talk about transmitting the coronavirus in a woke message for medical staff. This isn't aimed at the general public. This is aimed at medical staff are not allowed to talk about transmitting the coronavirus because it assigns blame to those who may be carrying it. In its most recent advice for those concerned about the risks of the deadly virus, the group aimed to tackle the so-called social stigma around the disease. It highlighted why COVID-19 is causing stigma and discouraged people from adding countries or ethnicities when talking about transmission. Posting its new guidance to social media, the WHO said, do talk about people acquiring or contracting COVID-19, but don't talk about people transmitting COVID-19, infecting others, or spreading the virus, as it implies intentional transmission and assigns blame. Now, I don't think it implies intentionally spreading the virus, but you need to know who it is that's most likely to actually have this virus. And more important than that, we need to know the way that it affects different ethnicities. That is the most important thing. I mean, it's a biological fact that different races and different ethnicities are more susceptible to different diseases. And it certainly looks like this is one of those diseases. We've got a massive death rate in Iran. We've got a much higher death rate in Italy. And we've got a much higher death rate in China. So why is that? We need to know the genetic sequencing that is different in these peoples that makes them susceptible to this. And we need to know the people that are most likely to have it that are coming into our countries. But instead of doing that, instead of preventing this virus from exploding across the globe, they're basically telling us we shouldn't even be talking about it. We should not even be talking about the people that are most likely to catch it or the people that are most likely to be transmitting it to others. I mean, this is ludicrous that this political correctness is doing so much damage to medicine and healthcare, basically, I think.
Well, it just shows that, I mean, let's be honest, we were kind of talking about it before the show started, you know, and Ebola-chan is much greater than Corona-chan. You know, I mean, I think this kind of highlights the fact that this isn't as big a deal as they're whipping it up to be. I mean, if we were talking about, if this was Ebola-chan spreading like this, and you were talking about people going to drop dead with blood hemorrhaging out their ass, I mean, they're not going to be having, you're not even be talking like this. But the fact that for the vast majority of the people out here, except as you pointed out, for I think it's more serious for certain races, especially people from Asia, you know, the fact that for the vast majority of the people, this is less serious than the flu, that means there's more room to sit around with this gibberish, to sit here and act as though this is what's important, is we don't want to stigmatize people with the way we address this. Because if we were talking about a disease where you're going to die from blood hemorrhaging out your ass, ain't nobody going to be having this kind of conversation. Everybody's going to be, we're all going to die. We're all going to be dying in a puddle of blood hemorrhaging out of every orifice on our body. But the fact that it's not. But yeah, no, it's the one of the things they are dancing around with this for sure is the fact that it does. Obviously, I think it's pretty obvious if you look at it. It is a more serious disease for people, say, from China. It's apparently obviously targets Iranians. And are, you know, this is a twofold problem in the narrative, because A, we live in a society that is based on the premise that race doesn't exist and race is a social construct. So that presents a problem if you say, well, it's more serious if you're Asian or if you're Iranian. You know, you might want to treat this more seriously. If you start having flu symptoms and you're of this race, then you're more likely to, you know, you want to, you know, not take your time with this. You want to try to get treated quickly. But instead, they have to pretend as though it's going to affect everybody equally. I think the second prong problem with this is then people, if they admit this, then people are going to start asking, well, why? Why does this disease target these people more? Now, it could be naturally occurring, but there's going to be people that are going to say, well, is it engineered? Is it an engineered virus? And there are already doctors and people have looked at this thing and says, yeah, this thing came out of a lab. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's not, but it brings that question to bear. And I think that's a question they don't want people asking. So instead, we get this pretending. We pretend as though it affects everybody else the same. And it obviously does not. Again, if you're a white person and you're not elderly and you're not an infant and you don't have underlying health issues, then you're probably more in more danger if you catch the flu from this thing. But right now they're whipping everybody up into this frenzy and people are going out and wiping out the grocery store shelves because they just know that there's not going to be any food to eat. And, you know, the idea that you have this highly transmittable disease, so your reaction should be to rush out and go into public to go to the store when you're supposedly really that worried about it, seems kind of ludicrous on its face. But this is what happens when you live in a society, though, that everything is based on a lie. So they have to kind of twist themselves into knots and do all of these. Apparently, you know, looked at themselves, they look like silliness, they look like foolishness. But when you look at them in the big picture, it's what they have to do, because everything else we're told in our society is a lie.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to prevent people from actually looking into the source of these diseases, because most of them appear to come from Asia. You got the Black Plague that came from Asia. You got Asian flu. You've got Southeast Asian respiratory syndrome. You've got Middle East respiratory syndrome. You've now got this coronavirus that's come from China. And, you know, when you can recognize patterns like that, then you can prevent these things from happening in the first place. But you can't if you fudge the language. And it says in its new online guide, it says that words matter, and added that some language may have a negative meaning for some, which may fuel stigmatized attitudes. Yes, words do matter, and yet what they're doing is they're ignoring the implications of that and saying people should be fudging the words. Words matter because you want to be able to define something. You want to be able to define something in the most accurate manner that you can. Particularly in medicine, you want to accurately describe what you are seeing. You want to define it down to the finest nanometer, exactly what it is. And yet you can't do that if you've got political correctness in the way. I mean, political correctness, okay, it may be necessary in some social situations. You don't want to offend people. But as far as medicine and science is concerned, it should be nowhere near it. It should just be the facts that actually matter. And, you know, they're not taking their own advice here when they say that words matter. He says they can perpetuate existing negative stereotypes or assumptions, strengthen false associations between the disease and other factors, create widespread fear, or dehumanize those who have the disease. So it could create false associations. What, a false association with China and the disease, which is where it began and where it's at its most frequent and had the most frequent deaths? I mean, this is the sort of thing that we want to know so that countries can prevent people coming in from China, which is exactly what our administrations have not done, and is the reason why it's now on the verge of becoming an epidemic. I agree with you, Grandpa. It's probably not as serious as they are making out here. It's particularly serious for the elderly, and it's possibly not that serious for white people. But until they actually tell us the infection rates by ethnicity, we are not going to know that. And so it's going to encourage panic in certain segments of the population, say white people, when it's unnecessary, because it may not be as much of a risk for white people, whereas it may be much more of a risk for the Chinese. And because of political correctness, they're not telling us that. So they're actually causing more problems by introducing political correctness into this than if they were just honest. I just wish they would be honest with us and tell us the facts, and not just in this, but in every aspect of society. If they would just tell us the truth and not try to blame white people for anything, or worry about people's feelings. We can't talk about their IQ, can't talk about their crime rate. We can't possibly blame these people for their own mistakes. If only we could do that, then, you know, we could start building a better world. But all the while, we willingly blindfold ourselves and pretend that what we are seeing is not what we are seeing, the world is just going to go to hell in a handcart in the way that it is now. And we're going to end up with diseases and plagues like this taking hold, because to prevent them means being racist. It means being politically incorrect, which is now most important to the head of the World Health Organization, rather than solving the problem, is preventing people talking about it in accurate ways.
Well, the narrative is more important than human life. And that's a fact. I mean, again, if you look at it on the flip side of all of this nonsense, because this is all posturing, pretending like, well, we don't want people, have like offend Asian people. If they think that people, you know, of Asian descent are more likely to be transmitting it, then they could hurt their feels. But that's nonsensical, because human life should be more important. So you flip this on its head, and by running around and pretending like this is an equal danger to everybody, I believe they put Asian people that are living, say, in America. Because if you're living in China, I mean, they're handling their business over there. They're taking this very, very seriously, and for good reason. But if you're like a Chinese person or whatever living in America, You know, they're telling you basically like you're not at a greater risk. Again, if this was being treated like life is the most important thing, as you said, they would be giving all the facts out here. They would be saying, look, if you get flu-like symptoms, you know, and if you're of Chinese descent or if you're of Asian descent or if you're of Iranian descent, you know, you're going to need to get to the doctor probably. You're going to need to not wait and see if this is just a cold or the onset of the flu. You're probably going to need to get to the doctor quicker than if you're somebody else. So, you know, we need to prioritize these people because they're at more of a danger. Wouldn't you? You know, I mean, the basic premise of like triage is you treat the more serious person. If you have a disaster in your triage, that means, you know, you're not going to be over here treating a cut on somebody's arm. You're going to be over here stopping the bleeding from the guy who's had his neck slashed or his arm blown off and try to save their life. You got to put this importance. And yet we throw that out the window because if this was being treated realistically, like as a, with a triage mentality, you say, okay, people that are going to catch this, because it's going to spread. It's a highly transmittable disease. And I mean, I don't think anybody can argue. It's obviously much more transmittable, much more easily transmitted than the flu or even the cold. They're finding all of this out. It's because these things mutate and they change. They were so sure at first, don't worry, this isn't easily transmitted. Why they were so sure of that, I will keep my tinfoil hat in the drawer. But you know, it's obviously very easily transmitted. You know, so again, instead of treating this realistically, like with a triage mindset and saying, look, if you're of Asian descent, if you're Korean, Chinese, Japanese, if for some reason it seems to affect Iranians pretty seriously, that again is kind of curious. But if you're of these, you know, racial makeups, you need to take, you know, you need to treat this more seriously. If you're not, if you're a white person and you're like 35 years old and you're healthy, you don't have any underlying health problems, you probably just need to stay out of public and not spread this around because you're probably going to be okay. You'll get over it in a few days, just like a bad cold or the flu. You know, but if you're of this other race, you need to get to the doctor because this could be life threatening, could be much more serious for you. But once again, this just highlights that, you know, the human life is less important than the narrative, the lie. That is what's important. They don't care how many people die. You got this head of a World Health Organization, and he's more, it should be like the World Narrative Organization, because he's more concerned about the preservation of the narrative than he is about the preservation of human life.
Well, we learned that with the grooming gangs in Britain, didn't we? It was more important to preserve the narrative than it was to prevent young English girls from being raped and trafficked. Well, the guidance comes as several people of Asian descent were attacked by people who claimed to have targeted them because they believed they were carrying coronavirus. I mean, how ridiculous is that? And if you believe that somebody's got this virus, the last thing you want to do is get up close to them. The very last thing you want to do is have bodily contact with them. And perhaps if people were told the truth, that if you got up close to the Chinese, you might very well catch it, then maybe people wouldn't have attacked them, which of course I condemn. Many on social media have branded the new WHO guidelines as woke and questioned why they had to be worried about the feelings of others during what some have labelled as a health crisis. One social media user joked, "Oh good, please tell us more words we can say to keep us safe." While another added, "Is this a joke? WHO tells us we are supposed to care about hurt feelings in the middle of a pandemic." This is while another decided to rewrite the WHO's original post and said, "Hey, WHO, do transmit all relevant information to the public so we can make up our own minds. Don't tell people how to think or act. Don't let careless, negligent people escape valid criticism because of PC wokeness." And of course, I would agree with all of that. As part of the guide, it also urges people to do your part, and has created a whole section on how people should prevent stigma in their communities. And remember, this is going out to the medical industry, the people that need to learn how to deal with this disease. And instead of doing that, they're just talking about how to prevent stigma in communities. It states, "Governments, citizens, media, key influencers, and communities have an important role to play in preventing and stopping stigma surrounding people from China and Asia in general. We all need to be intentional and thoughtful when communicating on social media and other communication platforms, showing supportive behaviours around the new coronavirus disease." So nothing there about how to prevent it, but just telling people to watch their language. It then gives communication tips and messages to prevent misinformation about the condition. And so far, there have been over 90,000 coronavirus cases worldwide and over 3,000 deaths. And why aren't they telling us the ethnic breakdown of that? I mean, that is going to be the most important thing that we need to know about this, not, you know, mind our P's and Q's effectively, and what sort of language we can use. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on the World Health Organization's guidelines here?
Well, this part right here, we all need to be intentional and thoughtful when communicating on social media and other communication platforms showing supportive behaviors around the new coronavirus disease. This goes back to the part of people being attacked over this. I think the vast majority, probably virtually all of these quote unquote attacks, are people saying things on social media like, you know, hey, maybe you shouldn't be eating, you know, soup made with bats or something. You know, I mean, that I think is what they're talking about when they're talking about attacks. I don't think they're talking really about literal people going out and like physically attacking a China person because they say they've got coronavirus. Because like you say, I mean, that's just stupid on its face. If you think these people are carrying coronavirus around, then the last thing you're going to do is go, you know, attack them physically and get their bodily fluids all over you. And, you know, I mean, if they were doing that, you know, the big defense would be, I will spit on you. Don't get close to me. I spit on you around eye. But, you know, so that doesn't even make any sense. I think what they're calling attacks are just this. People actually, probably mostly people speaking the truth. So it seems like this disease mostly, you know, if you're from China, is going to be a big deal. Everybody else, not so much. We can't have you saying that. I think this is what they're classifying as attacks. This is what they're defining here as attacks. And again, if this was Ebola, we wouldn't be having this conversation because everybody just, there'd just be panic in the streets. And, you know, here in America, we've got the World Health Organization. Then here in America, there's been a lot of criticism for the way the government has handled this. And again, I don't take this disease seriously. I'm sorry. I just don't. I've looked at the facts. I've read people that have actually studied this, doctors, not just random people on the internet. And the consensus is, again, that if you're not the elderly, if you're not an infant, if you don't have underlying health problems and you're white, this probably isn't going to be a big deal for you. In fact, it's probably like a bad cold. But it is interesting to view it in the sense of like a live fire exercise. When you look at the government's response, and I don't know, people are shocked that the government is inept. I don't know why you would expect anything different. But when it comes to actually handling stuff that people trust them to handle, like, hey, if there's a pandemic or if there's a national emergency crisis, you know, we think the government's going to be able to handle it great. Well, obviously they're not, because it's corrupt and inept. They spend billions and billions of dollars on these agencies such as the CDC. They ought to be just ready to go. They ought to have like 20-year stockpile of anything that could possibly need it during a pandemic, because this is literally the reason this agency exists. And then they're shocked, like, well, the agency doesn't even have enough face masks. Well, where did all these billions of dollars go? Where did the money go? Well, it's just all siphoned off on stupid stuff, because that's what the government does. It's a corrupt system that people. So it is, it's interesting, because again, it illustrates the fact that during a real crisis, a real pandemic, whatever the case may be, a natural disaster. I mean, if you believe the government's ready, prepared, any way, shape, or form to handle it, you're just, you know, living in a fantasy land. Again, yeah, the CDC, that's their whole reason for existing as a government agency. They are the go-to guys here in America if there's some sort of pandemic breakout, epidemic breakout. That's their one reason. They get billions of dollars. They've, you know, over the years, billions and billions of dollars, and they don't have enough face masks. They'd have no idea how to acquire these test kits. They're running around trying to figure out how to test people. It highlights the corrupt nature of the system that we live under. It highlights the corrupt nature of government itself. And again, anybody that's the one really thing you should take away from this is, in the case of a real disaster, you are on your own.
Well, Macron has actually seized all the face masks in France, I read this morning. And I do have to point out that I have actually seen a physical attack, Grandpa, and it was a black guy, of course, attacking a Chinese woman. And there is video of that. And apparently he was attacking her because he thought she did have coronavirus. So, you know, you should never underestimate stupidity, basically. You know, it is possible that there are stupid people out there that may attack somebody Chinese. You know, they've got to be extremely stupid to think that, you know, they're going to do that and not actually catch the disease by doing that. But one way that you can help to prevent this, and this is what we're being told over here in Britain, is just to wash your hands with soap and water, because the virus itself has an oily membrane around it, which is how it breaks into the cells within the human body. So if you actually just use good old-fashioned soap and water and wash your hands thoroughly, that will get rid of it. And as long as you're doing that, I think they say 5 times a day, try not to touch your face, that should keep you safe. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.